What? Where am I? Oh my god, it's so dark, I can't. Oh, I can't move. Okay, that hurt. My chest. I'm trapped under something. Oh. All right, just stop panicking. Just stop panicking.
Dr. Fraser.
Tilk, are you there? Where are you?
I am here. Take my hand.
I can't move. Ow, okay, so chest injuries, head injury, that's not good. Hazmat suit, okay. I'm wearing a hazmat suit. I am not trapped, but damn it, I cannot remember anything. I must have hit my head pretty hard.
Dr. Fraser, are you injured?
No, Tilk, it's okay, I'm fine.
Can you stand?
Yeah, I think so.
Dr. Fraser.
I'm here, Tilk. Whoever here is, I'm guessing it's not the SGC.
It is not.
There's a light, looks like a flashlight. Triage unit. This is a triage unit. Okay, that's quarantine sheeting. Tilk, where are we?
We are still within the cave system of PX2639.
The cave system of... Tilk? And that was how it began. At least, that's what I remember as the beginning, although it actually started hours earlier. It's a strange thing, memory. Sometimes amnesia can wipe out everything, and other times it's just a little portion, like one row of volumes knocked off a bookcase. So, there I was, with no idea where there actually was, or what had happened to incapacitate the strongest member of SG-1. Tilk looked sick. He was so pale. I knew that if something had taken him out, it had to be bad. And then there was the hazmat suit. I needed answers, and only Tilk could give them to me. Okay, Tilk, come on. Come on now, wake up.
Oh, doctor.
You hang in there, Tilk. I'm just going to look for your notes. I moved to the end of the gurney, looking for the clipboard that had to be around somewhere. My foot hit something hard, and it skittered across the ground. It was a rock. Tilk, was there a rock fall? Are we trapped in here?
Dr. Fraser, I do not believe you recall our predicament.
Yeah, you're right. You might have to help me out on that score.
I am not...
Tilk passed out again, and I knew I was going to have to piece things together myself. And that's when I started thinking about you, Cassie. I remembered the alarm clock going off that morning. I remembered shouting at you to get up for school. I'm sure I never slept as much as you do when I was a kid. And I remember the drive to work. It was a normal day. It's been quiet at Stargate Command for a while now. I should really take you there to visit more often. I know General Hammond would love to see you. The last major incident we had was that business with the clone of Colonel O'Neill. Still, you know what they say about the calm before the storm. So I remember doing my morning rounds. I only had 4 patients in the infirmary, and just one of those was a severe case. Lieutenant Miller had developed an allergic reaction to an alien plant on PJ-2424. It looks pretty nasty, but I think I may have it beat. Another week or so and he'll be fit for duty. There are several SG teams off-world. SG-11 were on a standard recon mission to P3R-940, and SG-1 had left on a 72-hour mission to PX-2639. Daniel wanted to take a closer look at some ruins SG-6 had found the week before. I had breakfast with him and Sam before they left. Daniel was excited, as always. From the images SG-6 had brought back, he thought the ruins were of Sumerian origin, some sort of temple, apparently. I wasn't quite sure why that was a good thing. I don't think Sam knew either. But Daniel was fascinated, and I was happy to listen. Breakfast with SG-1 is nothing if not educational. SG-6 had reported that there was no sign of habitation on the planet, so SG-1 were free to explore to their, or at least Daniel's, content. Oh, God. Okay. Sergeant Seiler came in with burns to his left hand, something to do with rewiring one of the Iris's power generators. It's funny. I probably see Seiler more than any other member of the Stargate Command Base staff. For a non-field officer, he really does manage to get himself injured in the line of duty a lot. I was just finishing up with Seiler when General Hammond's voice came booming around the base, ordering me to the control room. The gate was active, but there was no sign of other activity. When I reached Hammond's side, I realized that he was watching a melt transmission from the wormhole. "Reporting is ordered, General." Hammond turned to me. "Dr. Fraser," he said, "SG-1 have run into trouble on PX-2639. I'll let Teal'c explain." I glanced at the screen and was shocked by what I saw. Teal'c looked terrible. "Teal'c, sit rep."
"We are in need of immediate medical assistance, Dr. Fraser. SG-1 are too sick to move from their current position."
"Okay, Teal'c, tell me what happened."
"We were examining artifacts in the temple. I believe we disturbed a trap set for grave robbers."
"A trap?"
"Indeed. I have heard of such devices being planted in the tombs of Sysmal Lords to dissuade thieves."
"Okay, I need you to be as specific as possible, all right? Tell me exactly what happened."
"There is little to tell. Daniel Jackson opened an artifact. A box. It was a trap. It was filled with white powder."
"White powder?"
"Yes."
"And Daniel inhaled this powder?"
"As did we all, Dr. Fraser. There was a mechanism within that exploded when the lid was removed."
"To spread it?"
"Indeed."
"Can you describe the powder?"
"It is white."
"Okay. Okay. And what are the symptoms of the illness?"
"Fever. Head pain. Disorientation. Dr. Fraser, you must hurry. The sickness has progressed swiftly."
"Are you affected too?"
"I am."
Hammond frowned. "Well, Doctor?" "It's hard to say, sir. It could be anything, but if Teal'c's right about the trap, it sounds like a pathogen of some kind. I don't recommend bringing the team back to Earth. Request permission to take a triage unit and a hazmat team. I'll treat them there, Teal'c as well." "Permission granted," said the General. "Bring our team home, Dr. Fraser." It took less than 30 minutes to organize the equipment and personnel. I brought Dr. Anne Lindsay with me. She's only been with the SGC for a month, and it was her first off-world call. She was so excited. "I'm sorry I didn't call you, Cassie. I meant to. I usually do when I have to go off-world, but there just wasn't time. I am so sorry. You can't imagine how much." Teal'c was waiting not far from the gate, sitting beneath a tree with his legs crossed and his eyes closed.
"Dr. Fraser, it is good to see you."
"And you, Teal'c." He struggled to stand. I put a hand on his shoulder and pushed him down again. "Teal'c, just take it easy, okay? Now let me look at you."
"We must not delay. SG-1...
"We'll get to them, but you're sick too."
"I am fine."
"How about you let me be the judge of that?" I checked him over as quickly as possible. His fever was running at 102 and he was dehydrated. As a starter, I gave him a bottle of water and 2 aspirin. It would take a lot longer to determine what exactly was wrong, but that would at least give him some mild pain relief and perhaps bring his fever down. "How far is it?"
"No more than 5 kilometers.
I glanced at the sky. It was late afternoon, heading towards sunset. The air was already cooling. "Do they have a shelter?"
"The temple was deep within a cave system. Colonel O'Neill decided it would be best for them to remain there."
"Well, that's one piece of good news. Are you well enough to move out? I would prefer to treat you together." He answered me by standing up.
"Let us delay no longer."
And that was it. I couldn't remember anything after that. But at least I knew why I'd been called to the planet. Till came round a short time later.
Dr. Fraser.
Hey, there you are. How long have I been here?
It has been at least 48 hours since you arrived from Stargate Command. The rockfall occurred no more than 60 minutes ago.
48 hours? That long? And then it hit me. I know you were probably already thinking it, but I had a head injury, remember? God, the rest of SG-1, O'Neill, Carter, Daniel, my staff, they should be here. Where are they?
Two of your medics were resting in the camp outside when the rockfall occurred. Dr. Lindsay had returned to the SGC for more supplies some hours ago. SG-1, we're over there.
Under those rocks? Oh, my God.
I have tried to contact them, but received no answer.
I can't describe the feeling that went through me at that moment. The thought of Colonel O'Neill, Sam, Daniel buried beneath all that rock. I got as close to the rockfall as possible, but I couldn't hear a thing through the hazmat suit. I couldn't get close enough. Colonel? Colonel, can you hear me? Sam? Daniel? Can any of you hear me? Oh, Colonel! If you can hear me, I need to know. Damn it. Damn.
Dr. Fraser.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm okay. I just need to know if they're alive.
As do I. But I do not believe we are in a position to ascertain that.
He was right, of course. Though I didn't really want to think about that. But I had one patient right there who needed help immediately, so I had to focus on that. Teal'c, listen to me. Are you in pain?
Indeed I am.
Okay. Well, I know I brought morphine with me. Let me give you a shot to help with the pain, and then let's just take a closer look at you. I hoped against hope that my kit was intact, and thank God it was. My hard case was hardly dented, and inside were 6 doses of morphine. It wasn't enough, under the circumstances, but it would have to do. I could have done with the dose myself, but I couldn't take it with the chest injury, even if I hadn't been inside the damn hazmat suit. My head was swimming, and it was such a struggle to focus. Okay, here we go, Till'c. This will help.
I am grateful.
Now let me look at you. Are you suffering from any new symptoms? You still have a fever.
Some discomfort in my throat.
Sore throat, okay. Anything else?
Yes. Lesions such as this.
Lesions? Let me take a look. On his arm was a necrotized lesion, measuring about 1 inch in diameter. How many of these do you have?
Several.
Any nausea, vomiting?
Yes.
I had to force myself to stay calm as the obvious answer came to me. They were all symptoms of anthrax, inhalational and cutaneous anthrax. But it was progressing too fast, way too fast. Not to mention the fact that all SG teams had been vaccinated. So there I was, head injury, getting worse by the minute, and a chest injury that kept threatening to take my breath away. I'd been there for 48 hours, and I had no idea what I'd already done for Till'c. I couldn't remember. I couldn't think properly. It felt like a red-hot spike driving into my brain, and I could feel the panic rising. I mean, I was SG-1's only hope, and I wasn't even fit for duty. I told myself to get a grip. I couldn't lose it now. I tried to think about the positives. If my staff hadn't been in the rockfall, they would have alerted Stargate Command, which meant rescue teams were probably already on their way. So we just needed to wait it out. Which, of course, was easier said than done. But the rate this thing was progressing, SG-1 didn't have time to wait for rescue. I pulled myself together and thought about my basic training. Always assess your situation and supplies first. Moving in the suit was becoming more difficult, but again, there was no choice. I decided to do a circuit of the surroundings. Okay, we were in a cave. It was as if the rockfall had sealed off a compartment, and Till'c and I were stuck in the middle. On one side, the exit. On the other, SG-1. It looked like I'd set up a standard triage unit when I got there, but with added quarantine protocols. That's why the rest of SG-1 were somewhere else. I would have wanted to observe each case in isolation. There was a crate of water, some blankets, plenty of rations, but I hoped we wouldn't be here long enough to need them. And then I saw something that made my heart sink. My workbench had been demolished. All my equipment lay scattered around it.
Can anything be salvaged?
I don't know. The second hard case I'd brought with me hadn't survived as well as the first. It was smashed open. No! All my antibiotics. Without antibiotics, I... Wait. Okay, this is good. Some of this stuff doesn't look too bad. Teal'c, I think I can save some of my equipment. Look, this microscope is fine, and so, amazingly, is the centrifuge. Thank God. Hammond would have had my commission if I'd managed to wreck that. They are not cheap.
Is the damage superficial enough for you to continue your work?
Maybe. If I can find the samples of the pathogen I was working on. There is a chance, Teal'c. There is definitely a chance.
That is good.
Yeah. To paraphrase you, Teal'c, indeed it is. And that's when I saw them. The pathogen samples. They must have been in a vial holder on the bench and falling during the cave-in. Four were intact, but one was smashed completely, and there was powder everywhere. It was extremely fine, and I could see how a small explosive device would have spread it so easily. You've got to hand it to the Goa'uld. They're certainly efficient. I actually remember thinking that I took back all my complaints about the hazmat suit. And then an awful thought occurred to me. I hadn't thought to check it for tears. I told myself not to panic, that it was probably fine. Panicking was counterproductive, and I didn't want to worry Teal'c. Everything was fine. Everything was sure to be just fine. And then I saw it. A small rip on the left arm. I was compromised. I don't know how long I stood there staring at it, but Teal'c noticed.
Dr. Fraser...
I'm sorry, Teal'c. I'm just taking a closer look at all this equipment. I'll be with you in a moment. There was no point in telling the truth. There was a small chance I'd not been infected, and any further stress would only weaken him more. I decided to tape up the tear and just pretend that everything was fine. Okay. I found the samples. We are in business. I just need to find a way to prop this bench up, and then I can make a start.
You will need my assistance.
No, Teal'c, absolutely not. I can manage, all right? Just you stay there. How's your pain?
Bearable.
Good. Just let me know when you need another shot. Oh.
And what of you, Dr. Fraser?
Me. It's okay. I am just fine, Teal'c. Just fine. Okay, look. Here's another flashlight. We'll save that one for later. Okay, I'm going to get to work.
First, you should rest.
I'll sleep when I'm dead. And I'm telling you, that is not going to be any time soon. You got it?
I have always admired your tenacity, Dr. Fraser.
Yeah, well, my ex-husband always used to call it my stubborn streak, Teal'c.
Whatever its name, I have confidence that it will free us from this sickness.
Thanks, Teal'c. I didn't say it, but I didn't have the same conviction. The task before me was almost certainly impossible. I needed time, which I didn't have. I needed equipment, which wasn't available. My pain was increasing by the minute. I wasn't even sure I'd be able to focus properly for much longer. And on top of the head and chest injuries, I was more than likely infected by the pathogen, too. But I didn't give up hope. With any luck, I'd be wrong about it being anthrax. Now then, first things first. Let's get this sucker under a microscope and take a closer look. It wasn't long before the truth became inescapable. The pathogen was definitely Bacillus anthracis, though it was a strain I'd never seen before. Which, of course, wasn't surprising. I mean, who knows how many variants there are in the universe. We know it can survive for a long time as a dormant spore, just waiting for a new host to come along. The structure of the endospores was radically different to those I'd seen on Earth. Okay. What I didn't know was whether that explained why it was presenting so quickly? Was this strain essentially the same organism as found on Earth, but mutated to infect its hosts faster? I mean, if the Goa'uld were using this strain of the bacterium regularly, that could make sense. Perhaps it just mutated naturally, which, in theory, could make it different enough to mean our vaccine wasn't effective, but that a high dose of penicillin could still be the answer. Except, I didn't have any penicillin. Hey, Teal'c, how you doing?
I have been better.
Oh, yeah. Always the master of understatement. I bet you could use another shot, am I right?
The effectiveness of the last one does appear to be wearing off.
Okay, you hang in there. I'm going to get you another dose. I willed the rescue team to hurry. I was running dangerously low on morphine, and I knew Teal'c would need more before we got through this. Of course, a doctor not on the verge of passing out would have been useful, too. It was going to get harder and harder for me to concentrate. I knew that much. My head was pounding, and I couldn't tell if my vision was getting worse or if it was just the hazmat suit. And somehow I had to figure out how to culture a batch of penicillin in record time and in a field hospital with severely limited resources. But even if I managed it, that might not be the solution at all. I wasn't looking where I was going, my mind too distracted. And as I returned to Teal'c... Oh, God!
Dr. Fraser.
Oh, sorry. I'm okay. It's okay. Here, let me give you this shot.
You are also in pain.
No, I'm not. I'm just tired, Teal'c, that's all.
I do not believe you.
I've got work to do. I told myself I could do this. Forced myself to start working. But I couldn't even pick an instrument up properly in the damn hazmat suit. And suddenly it was just all too much. It was worse than useless. I couldn't see in it. I couldn't work in it.
Dr. Fraser, what are you doing? You must not remove your protective clothing.
It's too heavy, Teal'c.
But you will be contaminated. You must not remove it.
Oh, that's better.
I do not understand. Why would...
It's useless, Teal'c. It was damaged in the rockfall.
And yet you kept it on this long.
Because I knew you'd fuss. But I can't work on it properly. It's too cumbersome. This is much better. Okay, codeine. Now I can take some. I'll just have to fight the drowsiness. Where is it?
You should not have deceived me.
Need to know, Teal'c. Doctor's privilege. At least now I can... And that's when I felt it. It was so faint. Teal'c, can you feel that?
To what are you referring, Dr. Fraser?
That breeze. There's a breeze. I couldn't feel it while I was in the suit, but can't you feel it? It's definitely there. It's coming from the rockfall across the cave entrance, Teal'c. Yes, there must be a way through. Okay, no. You just stay where you are, all right? Let me see if I can locate it. Here. It's right here. I can feel it coming through here. You see, there's a gap in the stones.
Be careful.
I know. But if there's a way out... Hey, they're moving pretty easily.
I will assist you.
No, you're not well enough, okay? Just stay there.
You are also unwell. But if there is a way through, we must locate it.
Okay, then. Here. Can you feel the airflow? It's getting stronger.
I can. You are correct.
I think... If we can just move these stones here.
Dr. Fraser.
Hurry, Teal'c, get out of the gurney.
You must join me.
No, the equipment. I have to save the equipment.
You must leave it.
Teal'c.
I am here, Dr. Fraser.
Oh, thank God.
Are you injured?
No, just you stay there, okay? I'm going to come to you. I moved towards them slowly. The rock fall was now 10 times worse, and Teal'c was lucky not to be dead, and now I couldn't feel the breeze at all, which meant no fresh air. Your mom, Cassie, had just managed to flunk survival 101. I am so sorry, Teal'c. That was incredibly stupid.
No. We had to make the attempt.
Okay, come on. Let's get you back on this gurney. I got Teal'c settled and told him I was going to get a blanket. The temperature had started to drop. I was moving to get one when I saw it. A flash of yellow made visible by the most recent rock movement.
Dr. Fraser.
There's something here, Teal'c. There's something... It's a hazmat suit.
But your protective clothing...
Not mine. Someone else must have been wearing it. You said that one of my medics went back to the SGC?
Yes. Dr. Lindsay.
She must have been on her way back. She'd almost reached us when the cave-in hit.
Is there no hope?
No. Damn it.
When the rescue teams arrive, we will take her home.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. Wait a minute. Wait. Do you hear that?
I do not.
I think it's another rock fall.
I hear nothing.
But I was convinced. It sounded like scratching or perhaps something else. My first thought was the rescue team.
I am fearful that you are hallucinating, Dr. Frazier.
I'm not that far gone yet, Teal'c, but there is definitely something... Wait a minute. Can't you hear that? It's coming from the other end of the cave. I rushed to the second rockfall, suddenly hopeful. Could it be SG-1? I started shouting, trying to make myself heard through the rock. Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Colonel? Colonel!
Perhaps the rockfall is continuing elsewhere in the cave system.
No. I swear I hear something, Teal'c. Colonel O'Neill? Sam? Daniel? This time I thought I heard a voice. It was so faint through the rocks. And so I started moving them.
Dr. Frazier, I am not certain this is wise.
Probably not, Teal'c. But what choice did I have? I sent up a silent, aimless prayer. Please, please let it be in. Please don't let it be my mind playing tricks. Please, do not let there be another rock fall. I took one last stone out. My hand moved into space and someone grabbed it. Who are you? A voice asked, who's there? And there was no mistaking that voice, even through a ton of rock. It's Frazier O'Neill. It's Dr. Frazier.
Oh, hey, Doc.
He said with a cough, still gripping my hand.
Good to hear your voice.
And yours, sir. Are Sam and Daniel?
They're alive. We're all alive. Just. Carter thinks her arm is broken. It's hard to tell. It's so dark in here. Daniel's had a nasty blow to the head. He was out for hours. What about Teal'c? Is he with you?
Yes, sir. He's here. He's holding up. O'Neill coughed again.
So are you going to get us out of here or what?
I'm sorry, sir. We're trapped, too. There was a pause, and then he said...
Right. Well, then, have you got something for Carter and Daniel? And a flashlight? Some water wouldn't go amiss.
I told him I could give him a flashlight, water, some pain relief, but that was about it. I was about to move away when he stopped me.
Doc, you got anything for our other problem?
I knew he was talking about the sickness. I'm sorry, sir. I'm working on it.
Okay.
He said, after a pause.
And no sign of a rescue team?
They're on their way, sir. They'll be here soon. He squeezed my fingers slightly.
Damn straight, Doc. Now how about the supplies?
I stood up to find Teal'c at my shoulder.
She's giving you a hard time, Teal'c?
I heard the colonel ask.
She is giving herself a hard time, O'Neill. Dr. Frazier has not rested since the first rockfall, and I am concerned for her welfare.
You make sure you look after yourself, Doc.
Came O'Neill's order. Faint through the rock.
We're counting on you.
I didn't have anything to say to that. I moved the gurney closer to the rockfall and made Teal'c lie down, close enough to keep them talking, and went back to my bench. I didn't tell them how hopeless the situation was. Culturing any kind of antibiotic would take too long in a lab, let alone under these conditions. They were counting on me. I was their only hope, and I was damn well going to try. No one else was going to die here. I glanced around the cave, and my eye was caught by the bright gash of yellow that marked Dr. Lindsay's hazmat suit. I looked at her half-buried body, and a spark went off in my aching head. Teal'c? Teal'c, listen, you said Dr. Lindsay went back for more supplies. Can you remember what?
Dr. Lindsay did not elaborate, Dr. Frazier. She simply said you required more supplies.
More supplies, okay. But of what? I felt a glimmer of hope. If I'd sent her back for more penicillin... Yes, she was carrying a hard case. Ew! Okay, please, please let this be more penicillin, please. And it was. Exactly what I'd been hoping for. 5 vials of penicillin. There was something else, too, a culture that I didn't recognize. I had no idea why I'd asked her to bring it, but this voice recorder, the one I'm using right now, was inside, too, and I hoped it would reveal some answers. With shaking fingers, I pressed play, but there was nothing on it. Nothing at all. Disappointed, I stuffed it into my pocket and focused on the good news. I had the penicillin, and it had to be administered immediately. Teal'c, I'm going to need your help. Oh, there was enough penicillin in the case to dose a herd of elephants. So, if that was the answer, all we had to do was wait. Not that waiting was easy. The codeine had helped a little, but I could feel the pathogen getting to me. My throat was really starting to feel scratchy, and I had a low-level fever. It just worked so fast. Too fast. I tried to concentrate on regaining my missing memories, doing something positive instead of just worrying. What if I was missing something vital? If I'd been here for a whole day before the cave-in, I must have done more than just examine the patients. I wasn't getting anywhere, and then I heard the colonel calling. I could hear the worry in his voice as he said,
Doc, I can't wake Daniel, and now Carter's fading out too. I don't think this stuff is working.
I tried to sound reassuring. The effects wouldn't be instantaneous, and it would be a few hours before I could do a test to find out, but I could hear the exhaustion eating at him.
I have to say, I'm not feeling so hot myself right now,
he said, which in O'Neill speak meant he was about to pass out. I knew I had to keep him awake somehow. He was my link to Daniel and Sam, the only way I could treat them. Hey, Colonel, why don't you tell me about this mission, I suggested. From the top, just tell me how we all ended up in this mess.
Not much to tell, really,
he said.
Started out like a pretty standard mission. I thought it would be a walk in the park. Daniel was all excited about these artifacts SG-6 had found. Never did quite work out why. Guess we'd never had a chance to get so close to Sumerian culture before. Just another ghoul to me, but then what do I know? History was never my strong point.
It was so good to hear his voice, but I was finding it more and more difficult to focus myself. I could feel the illness taking hold of me, dragging me down. Something on my arm was beginning to sting, and I pulled up my sleeve. It was a lesion, like the one I'd seen on Teal'c. There wasn't any doubt now. I was definitely infected. I leaned back against the pile of rocks and shut my eyes. I tried to focus on the colonel's words, but I could feel myself beginning to drift. I struggled to my feet. Well, sir, this is it. Time to see if the penicillin has done its job. Teal'c, I'm going to take some blood, okay? You're going to feel a slight pinch.
Do what is necessary, Dr. Fraser. I am prepared.
It was the moment of truth, and I think I held my breath right from taking Teal'c's sample to putting the slide on the microscope. And then it all fell apart. Damn it. Damn it. What I saw under the microscope was impossible. The pathogen was producing beta-lactamase to block the antibiotic. Come on, come on!
Dr. Fraser, what is happening?
Oh, just give me a minute, Teal'c. I tried to get myself under control. Penicillin wasn't working, and I realized that the anthrax strain must have been engineered. I had never seen natural Bacillus anthracis capable of producing beta-lactamase without genetic interference. It was actively battling the penicillin. My only hope had been that this was a natural mutation, that it had never come into contact with antibiotics before. But what I was seeing proved it must have been engineered. Someone deliberately constructed this strain to resist both vaccine and cure. It was over. There was nothing else I could do. Even if I had the equipment, I didn't have the time. SG-1 had survived 2 cave-ins only to die a horrible death. They would all be in respiratory failure within a matter of hours, and there wasn't a damn thing I could do.
Dr. Fraser.
How could I tell them? How could I tell them this is how it ended for SG-1, huh? After everything they had done for Earth?
Dr. Fraser, Has the cure been successful?
I'm sorry, Tilk. The strain is... It's not working.
That is unfortunate.
I don't know what else to do.
You have done all you can.
I went to check on him and didn't like what I saw. His breathing was labored and shallow, and I could see lesions on his face. Oh, Tilk, I am so sorry.
You have nothing for which to apologize, Dr. Fraser.
I can't beat this thing. I can't beat it.
You must rest now. Rest.
I have to talk to Colonel O'Neill. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, but I think the Colonel already suspected the truth before I'd even started talking. I'm sorry, sir. I told him softly. It just didn't work. There was a pause.
So what's your next move, Doc?
He asked, a trace of the stern Colonel returning in his no-nonsense tone. I had to take a deep breath, but I wouldn't lie to him. There's nothing, Colonel. I'm sorry. There's absolutely nothing else I can do.
Come on, Fraser, don't give me that. This is you we're talking about. I've never seen anything beat you.
I would have laughed at his optimism, but my lungs wouldn't have stood it. With difficulty, I pulled my legs up to my chest. I'm sorry, sir. I told him my luck has finally run out. First, I thought I was hearing things. I forced myself up, and the sound came again. You heard that, right, Tilk? Tell me, please tell me that I'm not hearing things.
I heard it.
I followed the sound. It was coming from under another small pile of rocks. It was a radio, and the burst of hope it brought made me lightheaded. I thumbed the dial and spoke into it. Hello, this is Dr. Janet Fraser. Is anyone there? Over. This is Dr. Janet Fraser of Stargate Command. Can you read me? Over. The voice echoed back to me so suddenly that I almost dropped the radio. It was Colonel Bracknell, head of the rescue team. Colonel, I told him, unable to hide my relief. It is so good to hear your voice. I need a medical evac ASAP.
Understood, Doc.
He told me, voice tinny over the radio.
We'll be with you as soon as we can.
How long is soon, I asked.
Couple of hours,
she said.
Three tops.
My heart sank. We didn't have that long. I could hear Colonel O'Neill calling me as I signed off with Bracknell and put the radio in my pocket.
That's good news, Doc,
he said.
Now all we need is for you to beat this bug and everything will be just peachy.
I shook my head, though he couldn't see me. I'm sorry, Colonel, but there just isn't another answer.
Well, what about the pottery thing?
He asked. I had no idea what he was talking about. I thought it was the fever talking. I'm sorry, sir, I said gently, trying to calm him. I don't know what you... He interrupted me, and there was no trace of hesitation in his voice.
Potsdam,
he insisted.
Before the rock fall, you were talking about some guys from Potsdam. You and Dr. Lindsay. I asked you what you meant, but you wouldn't tell me. Said it was just a theory you wanted to have in reserve.
I was still clueless. Potsdam? I didn't know anything about Potsdam, except... Like I said before, Cass, the memory's a weird thing. Sometimes it only takes one thing to trigger a recall. And I remembered. I remembered everything. Oh, my God.
Dr. Fraser, what is it?
It's a chance, Tilk. It's a chance. But it wouldn't work. It couldn't work. I mean, it had never been tested before, not even on animals, let alone humans. I froze, trying to sort out the jumble in my bruised mind as the possibility of what I discussed with Anne came back to me. At my silence, O'Neill, still as shrewd as ever, said,
Come on, Doc. If you've got something, we want to hear it.
It's just a theory, I told him, flustered. It's just words on paper. I mean, it hasn't even been through the most basic of tests yet. It's just the idea of some research fellows at the University of Potsdam.
Doc.
O'Neill's voice cut through the stone. It was one of the ones he uses on raw recruits. You know the one, Cass? I saw him use it on you when he was teaching you to drive.
Pull yourself together,
he ordered.
Now focus.
The only answer to that is, yes, sir. And then I began to explain. A couple of months ago, I got some early notes from a study on effective anti-protease antibiotic treatment. They were working on a way of targeting a pathogenic organism's secreted exotoxins.
A what?
Asked O'Neill. It's an antibiotic that attacks bacterium in a different way to penicillin, sir, I told him. It blocks the exotoxins. Simply put, it stops the disease getting any worse. It would still need treatment, but it inhibits the disease.
Well, come on, O'Neill said immediately. What are you waiting for? Get on and cook up some of this stuff.
Yeah, well, it's not that easy, sir. It wasn't targeted at anthrax for a start.
Well, then you can damn well find a way to make it work, Doc. Come on, jump to it.
Sir, I couldn't even culture penicillin. Even if I had the equipment, I don't have the time. And this stuff hasn't ever been tested on any form of primate, let alone a human. It could be fatal.
You know what they say, Doc,
the colonel said quietly.
If the disease don't get you, the cure will. I say we try.
I don't even know how, Colonel. I mean, I still have two culture preparations left, and I can take a sample of the active bacterium from Tilt, but what can I use for the active ingredient? Maybe a ration pack? An energy bar? That's such a long shot, it's a joke. Tilk placed a hand on my shoulder, and it's funny, but despite everything, that was enough to calm me, you know? Just a little.
Dr. Fraser, I believe you can accomplish this task.
I just wish I had... Thank you, Tilk. I'll do my best. As I sat there at my bench, trying to work out what to do, I realized this was the craziest thing I had ever done in my career. And something was niggling at the back of my mind, but I couldn't place it. It was something about Dr. Lindsay. But I was fading so fast, I couldn't remember. I couldn't even be sure that I was performing even the simplest tasks effectively. And I kept thinking about you, Cassie. I shouted at you that morning. I wish I hadn't shouted. I wish I'd kissed you goodbye.
Dr. Fraser.
Dr. Fraser.
I couldn't have passed out completely because I could hear Tilk, even through the fog enveloping me. I forced myself upright.
You must awake.
Oh, ow, ow. I'm awake, Tilk, I'm awake.
You must treat yourself, Doctor.
With what, Tilk? I looked around the mess that was my work area. All my expertise. Where did it get me, huh? Nowhere. But then I saw the centrifuge sitting on the end of the bench. There must have been a reason I brought it. I assumed it was for penicillin, but what if... Suddenly I remembered. The unknown culture in Anne's hard case.
What is that?
It's our last chance, Tilk. And then I knew why I'd really sent Lindsay back to Stargate Command and why I'd been discussing an obscure experiment at the University of Potsdam. I'd already been testing them back at the SGC. In fact, I'd started developing the serum already, intending to test it in the normal way. But it hadn't been tested. I hadn't even finished it yet.
Do you have a solution, Dr. Fraser?
I don't know, Tilk. If we're lucky, maybe... If I could just finish the serum, maybe we had a chance. Maybe we all had a chance. There. Okay, it's in the centrifuge. So now we wait again.
How will you discover its effectiveness?
I'll have to test it. Test it on myself first to see if...
You must test it on me.
No, Tilk, no way. Doctors do not perform tests on their patients.
I will discuss this with Colonel O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. That's the way to get a reasoned opinion. Behind me, I could hear Tilk talking over with O'Neill, and I already knew what the result would be. And sure enough...
Colonel O'Neill orders you to test it on him.
No kidding. And how am I supposed to monitor its effects through a pile of rocks? No, Tilk. I am testing it on myself, and that is final.
And if it proves fatal, who will try another cure?
Either way, Tilk, it won't be me.
Even if it works, Dr. Fraser, we will need someone to administer the dose to all.
You'll be able to do that.
I will not. I do not believe I will be able to retain consciousness for much longer. You will test this cure on me.
Let me think, Tilk. Just let me think.
Dr. Fraser.
Yeah. tried to pull myself up again, but my vision was graying out. My hands were beginning to shake as shock finally set in. My body was at breaking point, but I had to see this through, and then I could sleep. Tilk was suddenly beside me, looking like death warmed over. Tilk, you shouldn't have moved.
You are no use to us unconscious. You must take pain relief.
I wish I could, Tilk, but it's going to make me too sleepy.
Dr. Fraser.
Yeah.
You must remain awake.
Yeah, okay. I'll take more codeine. Just give it a few minutes.
Dr. Fraser.
It's okay, Tilk. I won't sleep, all right? I'm here for you.
I have never doubted it.
I may yet end up killing you all.
If we die, our blood is on the hands of the Goa'uld.
I'm sorry, Tilk, but that just doesn't cut it from where I'm standing.
I will rest now.
I don't think I'm going to be able to get you back on the gurney.
I will be well here.
Try not to sleep, though, Tilk. Tilk! He passed out, lying there beside my bench, and I couldn't wake him. I called out to Colonel O'Neill, needing to hear another voice, but there was no answer. It was almost impossible to walk now, but I made myself move.
Are we there yet, Doc?
The Colonel asked, his voice rasping and faint. Nearly, I told him. Nearly there, Colonel.
No sign of the rescue team?
They'll be here, Colonel.
Promises. Promises,
he muttered, and I could hear him fading away. Colonel? Colonel, you stay with me, okay? You're the only one who can give the serum to Daniel and Sam.
You've got to hurry, Doc,
he whispered.
I can't last much longer.
Colonel! There was no answer. I knelt beside the hole and with shaking hands pulled the radio out of my pocket. I called Colonel Bracknell. I mean, surely they had to be close. It had been hours. But Bracknell had no good news. The rockfall was more severe than they had thought. They were still too far away. I knew there was no time for a test. If the rescue team didn't arrive in the next few hours, it would be too late anyway. So I decided that the only thing to do was to administer the serum immediately. I collapsed before I got back to the bench. My legs just didn't want to work anymore. So I crawled, concentrating on breathing. A couple of times I almost passed out, but I made it. I had to dose myself in Tilk first. And I was actually glad that Tilk was completely out of it. At least he wouldn't feel anything. I had to make one more trip to the rockfall, but I wasn't sure I could hold out that long. The edges of my vision were crumpling, falling in. No! Flashlight died. I hit it, hoping against hope that it would just last long enough, but it was no good. It was dead. The cave was pitch black. I couldn't see my way to SG-1, and I was suddenly aware of the crushing, awful weight of rock above me. I nearly panicked again. Instead, I channeled my fear into shouting at the colonel. Colonel O'Neill, wake up. You wake up now. I need you to light my way. Sir? Sir, I can't see. Colonel? Please. Colonel, I'm coming back your way. You have to shine the light through the hole, okay? I can't see. Do you hear me? And there it was. Suddenly a thin light in the darkness. Thank God. Colonel?
No need to shout, Doc,
he whispered.
I heard you the first time.
I'm sorry, sir, I muttered. I'm going to pass through three syringes. Can you manage to inject Sam and Daniel? He coughed a yes, and I passed them through. You've got to be careful, Colonel. This is all I've got. I told him to inject himself first and then sank against the rock. The colonel's voice jolted me back to consciousness.
Doc,
he shouted hoarsely.
Doc, you awake?
I'm here, sir, I called back. Have you done it?
Yeah, listen, everything's graying out, Doc. I can't see.
I tried to pull myself to my knees to see through the gap, but it was hopeless. My body was giving up, closing down, and I couldn't move. Colonel? I called again. Did you inject the others? I tried to shout again. Colonel? Colonel? Did you get to Sam and Daniel? Sir? He was too late. He was already out. They all were. It was just me. Me in the darkness, waiting. And then I remembered this voice recorder, still in my pocket. I pulled it out and I thought about you, Cassie. I wanted you to know what happened. I wanted to explain properly why I haven't come home. I wanted you to know that I had been thinking about you. I wanted you to know that sitting here in the dark, I am thinking about you. It's keeping me going. I expect General Hammond will ask for a copy of this recording so that he can submit it as part of his report. But I want you to hear it first, okay, honey? I love you. I am so sorry. It's so quiet here, Cassie. It's just so, so quiet. What? Where?
Medic! She is awake. Dr. Fraser, can you hear me?
Tilk? Tilk, is that you?
I am here, Doctor.
Oh. Well, what's that? What's that noise?
Colonel Bracknell and the rescue team reached us some time ago.
I can't move.
You are strapped to a stretcher.
Oh. Okay. The serum, Tilk, the serum. Are you...
I believe I am recovering.
Thank God. What about the rest of SG-1? I don't know if Colonel O'Neill was able to...
They are removing the rockfall now, Dr. Fraser.
But are they...
They are alive. They are all alive.
Thank God. It worked. It actually worked. Oh, I need to see them. I need to...
Rest now, Dr. Fraser. You have done enough.
But I have to...
Enough.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I'll just rest a moment. Wait a minute. The voice recorder, where is it? I need it. Oh, thank you. It's Colonel Bracknell, isn't it?